Anyway, back to what I should be talking about this morning, which is seeing Jesus, but hopefully you can see the link there. I also wanted to thank all those people who have spoke this series, who have opened up God's word to us. It's been wonderful, actually, to hear about seeing Jesus and how when people encountered him, his love, his grace, his humility, his friendship, his healing power, it touched their lives and it changed them. And today I want to look at another person, another story in the Bible, similar to the story that Matt brought us last week about Jairus and Jairus' daughter being healed. This was a guy who encountered the healing, compassionate touch of Jesus in his life. So what I want us to do is just look at the context of the story. I'd like us to read actually together most of Mark chapter 8. So if you've got your Bible, be great if you could turn there. It is going to come up on the screen. Oh, look at that. But if you've got a Bible or your phone or whatever it is that you read God's word on, just turn to it there. I'm reading from the NIV, so during those days, another large crowd gathered. Another one. There were so many when Jesus was around. Since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, listen to this, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and had nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. He knew that. He knew them. He knew, and he was compassionate. His disciples answered, as they always did. There was always some kind of, it's a problem, Lord. What are we going to do? His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone get enough bread to feed them? What had they learned from the last time he'd done it, eh? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. When he had taken the 7 loaves and given thanks, he broke them and he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And so they did. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks for them also and told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces. You know, what a small statement, but how profound. The people ate and were satisfied. Guys, we're not talking about 1 or 2. It tells us next about 4,000 men, just men. Does mention the women and the children that would have been there as well. About 4,000 men were present. And having sent them away, he got into a boat with his disciples and went to the region called Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus. To test him, they asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it. Then he left them, he got back into the boat, and he crossed over to the other side. The disciples had forgotten, this is great, after he's just fed 4,000 people with bread. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for 1 loaf that they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. Then the disciples discussed it. They discussed this with one another and they said, it's because we've forgotten the bread. It's because we've forgotten the bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do your eyes fail to see? And that's going to be crucial. We're going to come back to that. Do your eyes fail to see and ears fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets of pieces did you pick up? 12, they answered. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? They came to Bethesda, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spat on the man's eyes, he put his hands on them. And Jesus asked, do you see anything? He looked up and said, listen to this, I see people, they look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus said, go home, don't go into the village. I want to pause just there. What an amazing chapter in the book of Mark. And you know what? There's lots of talk about bread. Lots of talk about yeast, bread, feeding 5,000, feeding 4,000, the disciples. And I just love that discussion on the boat. You can just imagine them going, you forgot the bread. Jesus is talking about yeast because he knows that you forgot the bread. And they totally have missed the point. Jesus had just fed 4,000 people with just a few loaves of bread. But you know what? Like so much of what Jesus did, there's a backstory running all the way through this chapter. Not about bread, although that plays a part, but about eyes. And more specifically, about having eyes opened. Both eyes to see others and eyes to see Jesus. This chapter in Mark is a kind of cameo of the journey the disciples have been on with Jesus, learning about who he really is. Start with rabbi, teacher, miracle worker, prophet, and ends just a few verses on from where we stopped. Messiah. As Jesus says to his disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter, the strong one, says, you're the Messiah. And later in John 15:15, almost the ultimate thing that Jesus says, I call you friends. I call you friends. And along the way, the disciples' eyes are gradually opened to the unbelievable, incomprehensible truth that the one promised long ago by the prophets, the one who God said he would send, his Messiah, was the same Jesus who they'd walked with and talked with and ate with. And guys, I know that sounds obvious to us now, looking back. But don't underestimate what that meant and how they couldn't see at the start, and their eyes were gradually opened. From blindness to partial seeing to full sight. But what about you? Jesus said, who do you say I am? So, like the disciples, or like that blind man, both having their eyes gradually opened, what can we, as Jesus' disciples today, learn from this chapter and apply to our own lives? Well, I've got 3 points. Toby, have you got my PowerPoint? Ah, he's a good man. Bless you. Can we remember Toby and Bumi this week? Bumi is due to give birth and is going into hospital tomorrow. So we just need to cover these guys. Great to have Larry with us, Bumi's mum, who's here for the birth as well. It's wonderful. Okay, so this morning I want to talk about 3 things. One is trusting Jesus. And they all come out of one word, really, which is imitate. Imitate. I used to love kind of comedians who would like imitate people's voices. Can I do it? Josh Dean, is it your birthday today? Oh, mate, happy birthday. I just saw you and I thought, yeah, I'm thinking about imitating Jesus, and as Josh Dean. Happy birthday, mate, for today. But we're imitating Jesus. And one way, I looked for solid kind of trust images. And there's a solid trust image. When we imitate Jesus, as we see him, as we learn more about him, by spending time in his word. You know, guys, there's no other way to really get to know Jesus than by spending time here in the God-breathed word of God, that the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of who Jesus is to us. And as we learn more about him, more of his love, we fall in love with him. And as we fall more in love with him, we invite him into our lives, even those messy places, even the dark places in our lives. You know, a few years ago, God showed me my life as a doll's house, a kind of side view of a house, an image of a house with all these kind of rooms. And in the house were rooms with lights on. And I said to the Lord, what are they? And he said, they're places in your life that you've let me into. I didn't want to ask him what the dark rooms were, but I did. He said, those are areas of your life that you haven't yet let me into. And I went on a journey with him, opening some quite painful doors, some quite difficult doors. But as I did, his light came in. as it said in his word, and fills the house fully. As we invite him in more, trusting him more, giving him our fears, our addictions, our hang-ups, our hurts, our lives, we become more like him, because we die to self and we live for Christ. We imitate Jesus. Ephesians 5, verse 12 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." You know, trusting him is key, as it leads to doing what he asks, or not, based on how much we trust him. Think about some of the characters in the Bible that we've looked at this series. Jairus trusted Jesus in the face of death. Peter trusted Jesus as he stepped out of the boat. Zacchaeus trusted Jesus to be Lord, even of his money. They all had faith in Jesus and took a step of trusting him more. And guess what? Their lives changed because of it. But some people didn't. The Bible doesn't hide away from the fact that some people didn't trust Jesus. When I shared a few weeks ago, I shared on Zacchaeus and his response to Jesus, and the rich young ruler and his response to Jesus, which was not to have the faith to see what he would gain was so much greater than what Jesus asked him to give up. But what about you? What about you? What about me? What steps of faith am I taking to imitate Jesus in my life? Like the rich young ruler, finance for all of us is a big one. And it's a big question. Have you settled that question with God yet? Is Jesus Lord of your money? Or are you? It's a simple question, but profound. Do you, and it's a test really to see whether you are or not, do you, when he asks you to bless people, do it willingly, do it begrudgingly, or not do it at all? 2 Corinthians 9 says, "The Lord loves a cheerful giver." And you can only be a cheerful giver when you imitate the generosity of Jesus, who held nothing back for us. You can only be a cheerful giver when you have faith to believe that Jesus is Lord of everything, including your money, and that everything you have comes from him. You can only be a cheerful giver and tithe when you understand that the first 10% is the Lord's. It's not that you're blessing God with it. It's his. How you choose to bless others with the 90%, that's up to you. The irony for the rich young ruler is that the spiritual principle that Paul outlines in 2 Corinthians 9 when talking about being a joyful giver is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. You know, there was a number of pictures building up to this morning. Helen had one, I had one, about open hands. And how, as we open our hands and what we have to the Lord, and give it away, whatever that is, the Lord can pour in to our lives what he wants to. You know, if the rich young ruler had sold everything he had, given the money to the poor, and followed Jesus as he suggested, he would have reaped so much more. So what areas of your life do you need to trust Jesus in? Can I have point two, please? We need to imitate Jesus when Jesus meets practical and spiritual needs. This passage in Mark 8 shows Jesus is concerned for people's physical needs as well as their spiritual needs. One of the things I love about this story is that Jesus' heart went out for the people. They'd been with him 3 days. Their food would have gone and they would have been hungry. And Jesus knew that. He knew lots of them had traveled a long way to be with him. He was compassionate because that's who he is. Jesus felt and still feels genuine, heartfelt compassion, both physically and spiritually. James 1:27 talks about looking after orphans and widows in their distress. Peter 2:3 through to 9 says, he's patient with you. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. He cares for people's physical needs and their spiritual needs. But everyone he wants to come to repentance in him. You know, in the person of Jesus, we see God's heart for people. His heart to serve them and to save them. Later on in the book of Mark, in Mark 10:45, Jesus says these amazing words. He says, bearing in mind he's left the throne room of heaven, he says this, I have come not to be served, but to serve. How awesome is that? I have come not to be served, but to serve. To give my life. To give my life as a ransom for many. So I guess the question back to us is, so what practical ways and what spiritual ways are we helping to meet the needs of others? You know, as a church, it's been part of our DNA throughout years and years. We have a number of projects serving people's needs, both physical and spiritual. Loving God and loving people. It's in our DNA. A desire to reach out to the prostitutes in Karma 25 years ago, has turned into a nationally recognized organization called Walsall Street Teams, working with agencies to prevent exploitation amongst young people. A heart to see people set free from the burden of financial debt resulted in Walsall Money Advice Project being set up. And Alan, who's part of this church family, runs that project. You know what? That project has helped people deal with over £10.8 million worth of debt. You know, that's amazing, isn't it? Praise God for that. The need to feed the homeless at the weekend when there is no homeless provision for food for the homeless turned into the Big Feed Project, which serves up to 120 people on a Sunday. You know what? Last week they had to close because they didn't have enough people as helpers. And It's sad that it was the first time we've had to do that for a long time. You know, if you have a heart for people, maybe you could serve with them. More recently, we've set up Welcome Boxes, which is a project aimed at newly arrived refugees and asylum seekers, lots of whom are coming to Walsall through the government's Syrian resettlement program. And what a joy to be the Christians in our town. We work with a number of other churches to meet them, to befriend them, to welcome them into our town. When we did the assembly here on Wednesday this week, we were talking to one of the staff members afterwards, and she said, we were telling her about it, and she said, you know what, our kids in the school, they would love to get involved in something like that. What can we do to help? Just collecting stuff, you know. They do quite a lot, actually. They go out, they do acts of kindness with the kids on the streets. Like Heidi said, do pray. And we have got Callum on the desk today. And Callum's one of those guys who was sat in the assembly on Wednesday, nodding away. You know, pray for him. We've got street pastors that Mike helps to run. We've got neighbours worldwide. And I just want to bless Solomon and Tabia for their faithfulness in serving over the years. Guys, bless you for all that you do. Hayley runs a Tuesday morning baby group here. And there's so much more. You know, guys, what's in your heart? What are your dreams to see people blessed physically and spiritually? This church has always been a church that's done that, and we need to carry on. And can I just have the last slide up? We need to imitate Jesus and maybe have a spiritual eye test. I love this part in Mark 8, 24 to 25, when Jesus tells of this very interesting healing of the blind man. It's a two-part miracle, almost. Jesus prayed for him, and the first time he prayed for him, he goes from having no sight to having partial sight. But his sight was still blurred. I'll never forget Heidi's sister telling me the story of when she realised she needed glasses. She was a young girl. She went to the theatre, I think, and the kids were just messing around on the row. And someone had got glasses, and they were just kind of passing the glasses down the row. And Lisa put them on. And apparently, she just went, "I can see." And everything that was blurred on the stage was suddenly clear. She just thought that's how it looked. I'll never forget that. And it's like that with this story. He goes from seeing nothing to seeing in part. But you know what? He still didn't see people like Jesus saw them. He saw them blurred like trees walking around. He needed his blurred vision to be enlightened again so that he could see as Jesus saw. And it wasn't until Jesus prayed a second time that he was fully healed. You know, recently, and I hope you get the irony of this, recently I got a letter from Boots the Opticians inviting me to an eye test. Does anyone else get those letters? Yeah, a few people. And it said in big letters, free eye test. Yeah? You're groaning. You know what's coming. But the irony is, in small print, for someone who needs glasses, so you can barely see it anyway, it says at the bottom, yeah, but you have to buy our glasses to get a free eye test. And the irony of it, this kind of small print for an eye test, just struck me. But the story of this guy's healing makes me wonder, are we being encouraged to think again about how we view and this sense of partially seeing? Do we need a spiritual eye test to check whether we are still seeing clearly, seeing through Jesus' eyes, not the blurry blind man's eyes? How do we see Jesus? How do we see others? How do we see ourselves? You know, as we spend more time with him, as we get to know him, we see Jesus more clearly. Trust him with the areas of our lives that he wants to come into, and we love him deeper. As we understand more fully, we understand ourselves better, and we learn to be imitators of Jesus. And because we are the ones who imitate him, we begin to see with his eyes, have his compassion for the broken, his pain for the abused, his heart for the lost. You know, Heidi said that next week we're going out onto the streets, and for some of you, that will send a shockwave of fear through your body. You know what? Don't fear. It's an absolute joy and a blessing to go out and give someone something with no strings attached, just to smile at them and say, this is to make your day better. And it's chocolate. People are going to love it. You don't need to worry. And if it strikes up a conversation and you can get to know someone a little bit and hear those things in their lives to do with family, circumstances, work, etc., health, there is a little opening to prayer, then it's great. Guys, let's have our spiritual ears open as well as our spiritual eyes. I want to end with a very quick story about that. I went to the gym a couple of weeks ago. Do you remember Storm Gareth? Was that just me that remembers it? Okay. So Storm Gareth was this kind of storm, and there is a relevance to me telling you about it. So I go to the gym early one morning, and I walk in, and there's a guy behind the desk, okay? This is Sweat Gym in Walsall. This is where Seth goes, don't you, Seth? Most days. If I get there once a week, I'm doing well, okay? This is where Ben, do you still go? No. Ben's like, I'm beyond that. Okay, this is a man's gym. That's not, but it just sounds like it. Sounds horrible, doesn't it? Sweat, okay? So I walk into Sweat Gym, and I've got my key fob thing, my little, I have to give my little sweat kind of thing on the thing. As a guy stood behind the thing, and I just went, gosh, really windy out there, it's terrible. Just making polite conversation. And he looked at me like this and he goes, yeah, but it's better than being dead. Seriously, that's what he said. Now I in that moment, I could just think, he's having a bad day. Or I could think, you know what? When I prayed on the way here this morning, Lord, give me an opportunity. Use me if you want. Because when I joined the gym, apart from Seth, who's really friendly, and Ben, most people really unfriendly, actually. They were like, okay, no eye contact, you know. So I decided I was going to change the culture. Yeah? I was going to smile at people, and I was going to say hi to people. And that's what I did. And but so this guy's just said to me, yeah, but it's better than being dead. And I could have said, yeah, it is, yeah, and just walked off. But I didn't. Something in here just went off on me, and I went, depends what you think happens when you die. And you know what? He comes out from behind his desk like this, comes round the corner to where I am, and he goes, right, he wasn't aggressive, just in my face. He went, nothing happens. Just like that. I said, well, how do you know that? He said, because I know people who have had near-death experiences and they say there's just blackness and nothing. And I said, well, it's really funny you say that because I know the opposite. And he then kind of takes me onto one side over here like this because his colleague comes out and we have this great conversation for 20 minutes. And I just said to him at the end, he's on a real journey, real search. Can I just pray for you? That God will reveal himself to you. So I did. He let me. And I didn't have one of my cards. So the next time we went back in, I saw him and I gave him a card. And he said, and he turned it on the back and it says on the back, you're loved. And he goes, wow. He said, I'm going to put that in my wallet. And he did. He showed me. He went, look, you know, are we listening? Are we watching out for those opportunities where the Lord comes knocking in a conversation? How's your spiritual vision? How's your spiritual vision? Do you see people like Jesus? Or do you see people like the blind man? Still with blurred vision. Let's stand together, shall we? Just as we close. And I just want us to pray, just as we finish. So let's just open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. To his voice, to his prompting. How's your spiritual vision? Are we seeing people like Jesus? Or a bit blurred? Has your once clear vision of people, of Jesus, become dull over time? Has the stuff of life taking our vision off Jesus and off others and put it on ourselves? Do we trust him enough to give him everything, 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 to be imitators of Jesus to a desperate world? Let's pray. And as we do, let's just open ourselves up and say, Lord, is there anything that you just want me to see more clearly in my life? So, Holy Spirit, we just open ourselves up to you now and say we thank you. Thank you for your example of love for people, love for this world. And Lord, would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you're doing, how you see people, and Lord, that we would hold nothing back, that we would give you everything just like you gave everything for us, that we would serve as you came to serve. And Lord, would you bless us today, and as we go out, Lord, from here, Lord, may we just say, Lord, use us to be your hands, your feet, your eyes, your heart, to our neighbours, our friends, our work colleagues, and a stranger wherever we see them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.